Take your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 tonight. And tonight, we're going to be looking at Joshua 24. Also, we're going to be going through a lot of different passages tonight, so make sure you have your Bible turning finger ready tonight. Going to be doing a study. Probably not going to get all the way through the message tonight. Probably it might go into next Wednesday, or I might do it Sunday night, depending. I don't know how it's going to go. I might get through all 10 points tonight. As Pastor, you just said 10. I don't think you're going to have that happen tonight. But, especially since I have 5 pages of notes. But Joshua 24, and this is an important message tonight, and something the Lord's been speaking to my heart about for over a month now, about since family camp. And it's been a while since we've had a message on the home. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Joshua 24 and verses 15 through 17. How to build a Christ-honoring home. And this is a question that is often asked. That, Pastor, I want to have a home that honors God. But how do I do it? How do I do it? This isn't just for those who have kids. Maybe you're single here tonight. This is important for you to learn and to establish in your own life for when you do have a family. Start preparing now to have a family. Don't wait until you have one and then try to figure out what's going on. Figure out right now, make some decisions, and we're going to look at the Bible tonight. And this message tonight will transform your life. Actually, every message will, but this one especially will transform your life, transform your parenting, will transform your children if you will follow it and wholly commit yourself to it. All right, so tonight, Joshua 24, let's all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God and a message entitled, 10 Rules to Govern the Home. 10 Rules to Govern the Home. Subtitle, Who's Running Your Home? Who's running your home? Is God or something else? So let's look at what God's Word says tonight. Joshua 24, beginning in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, not your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for your word. I pray that you have blessed our time together in your word. And Lord, I pray that our homes, each one represented here tonight, and those future homes that are represented, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to follow what you have prescribed for us. Lord, I pray that you would give me the right words to say. And Lord, I realize as I preach your word, there's 3 fingers pointing back at me. I pray that we all would be challenged by this tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us and help us and give us the homes that we desire in our hearts to have. And Lord, I pray that if we follow thy prescription, thy truth, you will give it to us. We thank you for it. I pray that you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. 10 rules to govern the home. So I encourage you to take notes tonight, especially if you want to take notes of these. I encourage you to do this before we begin. Take notes, type them up, put these on the refrigerator in your house along with the verses so that you can see these are 10 rules to govern the home. Though maybe some people have this, I've heard of people doing this. They have the rules of the house, everyone based on a Bible verse. Maybe you have 20 or 30 rules. Praise God. I don't think you would appreciate having a 20 or 30 point message. But we got down to the chase, the core of things tonight. Now, there might be some specific things, but these 10 things God wants in every single Christian's home. There is no exceptions here. There's no say, well, this doesn't apply to me. This applies to every single one here tonight. So tonight we're going to look at the 10 rules to govern the home. And the subtitle is tonight, who's running your home? Who's running your home? Hopefully God is. I'm praying God is tonight. If he isn't, pay close attention tonight. Now, look at number one tonight. Now, we saw here in Joshua 24 and in verse 15, a verse we know very well, especially the first part of the verse. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other, were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The last part of the verse here, maybe you go to Hobby Lobby, and a lot of us have that hanging in our house. Maybe we have it hanging over the door. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a great thing. That's a great motto to go by. And how do we do that? You know, sometimes we go to Hobby Lobby and we buy that. We stick that on the wall and automatically assume that makes our home a Christian home. It doesn't. And we need to go by what the book says. We can just put that over the door and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But then you don't do it because you haven't studied what God says. So tonight we're going to look at some foundational things. Maybe these things you already have in your life. Praise God. Let it be an encouragement to you to keep them there. Now, number one, Christ is the head of the home. That's rule number one in the house. Christ is the head of the home. This is what is established in this passage. This was at the end of Joshua's life. This was at the close of his ministry. And he is challenging them. Remember, they had just gotten off the cruise line there, or the detour around the desert wilderness in the 40 years for disobedience, for not choosing God. So once again, he is proclaiming to them, are you going to serve God? He's making sure that they're listening and that they're going to do what God says. And what they had learned the lesson, obviously, because what they say is that God forbid that we should go and serve other gods. We're going to wholly follow God. And this is the trouble with a lot of Christians. They don't have Christ as the head of the home. In some homes, the children are the head of the home. How many of you, we've all seen homes like that, where the children are the head of the home. The children decide what to do. The children decide what they have, what they eat, what they don't eat, where they go and what they don't do. And the mom and dad say, okay, honey, whatever you desire. You see some homes like that. You see some homes that the mother is the head of the home. And there's some homes that the father is the head of the home. So wait a minute, pastor, wait a minute. Isn't the father supposed to be the head of the home? Yes, under Christ. Remember that, under Christ. The father is not the head of the home in and of himself. Ain't going against God in the Bible. But underneath Christ and his word. Here's the scriptural model. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We see a scriptural model given here in Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3. Very simple model. Very simple blueprint. And this is how the home is constructed. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Just over a couple of pages, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. And we know in other passages that clearly tell us that in all things Christ is to have what? Preeminence, mean first of all. And we know that we're to give our bodies a living sacrifice. Yes, the man is the head of the home, but he is underneath the headship of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. And where do the kids fall into this? Children, obey your parents in some things. All things. That's right. It says all things. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. All things. Not some things, all things. So here's the model for the home. Four pieces. Christ, including all of his words and commands. The father, the mom, and children, you're last on the list there. That's the model, the chain of command. You know, if you're in the army, you have to memorize the chain of command. At least you're supposed to. And who is the commander-in-chief? The president of the United States. And then it goes to the chairman of the director of the the Secretary of Defense, then it goes to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then it goes to the Commander of the Army, and goes all the way down until you get to that sergeant or that officer that's over you. That's the chain of command. You know what? It's really hard to memorize a chain of command like that. It's very long with hundreds of people there. This is real easy. Four things. God first, then Dad. You know what? I never once doubted that my father was the head of our home. Not one time doubted it. He made sure that we knew it, and Mom made sure that we knew it. And then we also knew that Mom was number two in charge. That we weren't in charge over Mom, but Mom was in charge of us when Dad wasn't home. Amen? You know, usually in years gone by, in past generations, it was most of the time that the fathers were falling down on the job. You know what? Fathers are still falling down on the job. Moms are falling down the job, too. Moms are not standing up for what's right. Moms are not standing up against their children and making their children do what's right according to the Word of God. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you fail in this area of making Christ the first of all, the other nine rules don't matter. If you don't follow that Christ is the head of the home, Christ is the center of the home, the Bible is how we run the home. If you don't go by that, the other nine rules don't matter because you won't do them anyway. Because you got to stand here. And this is what we do. We base our families on philosophies. We base them on what Dr. Phil says. Years ago, it was Dr. Oz, wasn't it? Back in the 50s and 60s. It was Dr. Oz. Well, he was all wrong. Now Dr. Phil's right. And all these things. And Oprah and all these people. And they raise their kids that way. And they totally forget that God wrote the book on raising kids. God wrote the book on establishing a home. God wrote the book. You know what's called? It's called the Bible. But Pastor, that's you know, the truths are timeless. Amen? And if we don't base our family on this, it's going to fail. Your children are going to fail. You're going to fail as a parent if you don't follow this. So many people have tried and tried and tried and tried. And we have seen people fall and fall and fall. And we have seen families, one after the other, destroyed, destroyed, destroyed. Why? Because they don't follow this. They don't follow this. So make a decision right now. This is what we're going to follow. Because the other nine rules will fail you if you don't follow number one. Christ is the center. You know why? Christ is the center because when God tells you to do something that goes against your nature, you're not going to do it if you haven't made Christ first. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to do it. When something rubs you the wrong way, you're just not going to do it. Make Christ the center and the head of the home. Number two. Rule number two. Husband and wife need to be agreed. Husband and wife need to be agreed. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen? You know, I don't think any of us, maybe we have a co-worker or something like that, that is that we work with, and you can never seem to agree on anything. Can you get much work done? No. As of what, Pastor, what if my husband or my wife is lost? Guess what? There's some things you can agree on. Because there are differing opinions in the home. Can cause great strife, difference in opinion of child rearing. You know, you'd be surprised. And young people, pay attention to this. Before you marry someone, make sure you know what they think about raising kids. You would be shocked how many young people get married and they go down and they come to the point of having kids. And then they start, when they find out they're pregnant, they start talking about it. Oh, wait, they wait till after the baby's born. Hey, by the way, what do you think about raising kids? What do you think about discipline? And you know what happens? You find out, oh, they have all kinds of interesting ideas that aren't found on the Word of God. Or maybe you have all kinds of ideas that aren't based on the Word of God. Well, my mom and dad did it that way doesn't make it right. Amen? Just because mom and dad did it that way doesn't make it right. Well, I turned out okay. Sometimes we turn out in spite of our parents. Amen? Amen. I think every parent says, amen, my kids turn out in spite of the things I did. Okay? And mine, and I pray that's the same for me too. You know, all of our parents made mistakes, amen? Now, what, they're all sinners, just like we are. I'm not downing parents here. I have the utmost honor and respect for my parents, amen? There's no one better in the world than my parents. But they made mistakes, and they freely admit that. They say, well, I've never made any mistakes, and you've got a pride problem. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things wrong. We've all made mistakes as parents. But if there's a differing opinion between mom and dad on child rearing or on finances, maybe on standards. What's the standard going to be? Why don't we go with God's Word and what it says? In the area of standards, I'm just going to say this. Go with the higher standard. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. taught for many, many years, if it's questionable, throw it out. that's questionable. If it's, well, you know what? Because God's word is never well, right? It's either right or it's wrong. If it's kind of well, it could be wrong, then it is. It needs to go. But I like it. You know what? If you like it more than God's word, it needs to go. Then that kind of, that's a test for you that it's not the right thing to have. So how do you settle this strife? Unify under the Bible. Amen. It's amazing. We can't argue with God. Amen. That's the best way to settle an argument when it comes to different things. Go with what God's word says. So that's why rule number one, so important. Amen. I said, well, so my husband is unsaved or my wife is unsaved. Well, you just unify underneath the Bible and you keep going. Amen. You can have a Christian home in spite of the other many times. Now, I'm not saying, as a pastor, that's right, I'm going to go in and do all this stuff. I'm not saying go in and stir up a hornet's nest in your home. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, because, what does the Bible say? That we're to live peaceably with all men, especially with your spouse. That's a good idea. But, you know, many times, as well, a lot of people say, well, I just can't do it because my spouse this or my spouse that. I can't do this. I can't, you know, if they're not going to have a Christian home, I can't do it. You know what you need to do? You need to hit your knees and pray and ask God to change their heart. And He will. He will. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next year. But it'll happen one day. But in the meantime, you don't put God on hold. You just do the right thing. And you follow the Word of God, even if they don't. You know what? There's been many preachers and evangelists and missionaries that came out of a home where mom loved God and loved the Bible, got them to church and taught them the Word of God, and their dad wasn't even in the picture, or their dad was a drunk, or their dad was a non-saved person. Guess what? They went on to serve God because of mom, in spite of dad. The same can happen. Dad, if your wife is doing wrong and not raising the kids up right, you do right. And you know what? Those kids will raise up to serve God in spite of what mom does. We need to do right. We get so complicated today in how to resolve conflict. Just go back to what simple reality is, the Word of God. Unify under the Word of God. Now, I'm talking about Christian people. If you're having a disagreement, unify underneath the Word of God. You know what? You know what happened 9 times out of 10? You go with the Word of God, you found out you both are wrong. Go with what God says. Go with what the Bible says. Rule number 3. I'm going through these faster than I thought. Number 3, look at Deuteronomy 6:7. Teach the Word of God. So we have rule number 1. Christ is the head of the home. Number 2, mom, husband, and wife, be unified. I'm going to get more into this in a minute. And number 3, teach the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:7. Deuteronomy 6:7. Now, this is important. Teach the Word of God. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land wherein he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have beaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Teach them the Word of God. This here is a spiritual picture. If you want the blessings of children that grow up to serve God. And we see all these things that God gave to the children of Israel, they didn't do. It wasn't through their ability. It wasn't through their good personality. It wasn't through their organizational skills. It wasn't through their discipline measures. It was through God that they had all these things. The houses, the vineyards, all of these things to teach the Word of God. Did you know that's the job of mom and dad, to teach your children the Word of God? Did you know that? It's not the church's job, though it helps. Amen? It's not the Christian school's job. Children should learn more about God at home than in their Sunday school class. Amen? Now, what have we done today? We have those ministries mainly for those who do not have a home situation teaching the Bible. And they learn things. That's great. But Sunday school and children's church and on the Wednesday night programs and on the team programs, they're all good things and they encourage our young people, but they're to reinforce what they're already learning at home. They don't replace what's being taught at home. They don't replace it at all. If you're not teaching it at home, forget it. Because if you're not living it, they're not going to live it. Parents have abdicated their responsibility in teaching their children the Bible by example. You know, we need to live right if we expect our children to be right. Don't spank your kids for things that they do that you do. So you can't do that. But mom and dad, you do that. You know what? Don't spank your kids for mouthing back when you mouth back at each other at home. They're just doing what you do. Not so pretty when you turn the mirror on yourself as a parent. That's happened to me many times. And then when your child does something, you're about to correct them, and then the horrifying reality comes over you. That's what I do. And then you know what you need to do? You need to kneel and pray and ask God to forgive you and change that. Amen? Still disciplined for it. Well, some people do say, well, I do that all the time, so I just can't bring myself to discipline my child for that. We'll get to that in a minute. Still wrong, amen? And we need to take care of it. But we're to be a godly example to our children. We also need to teach them by scripture memorization, by family devotions, by homeschooling them, or sending them to Christian school, whichever. Don't expect also the homeschool curriculum to do it all for you either. It's there as an aid. You're to teach your children. Teach them what God's Word says. You know what the trouble is? That most parents is that they don't have anything to teach their children because they haven't learned anything themselves. They're not having a daily walk with God to teach them anything. You know what? Your family devotion is going to dry up and blow away if you're not having devotions every day. You know what the problem is? A lot of Christian homes today, they have gotten away from doing family devotions. They've gotten away from it. The rock-solid place where we teach our children is family devotions. I've had so many people come to me at different times over the years and say, oh, you know, they have this problem at home and this problem at home and this problem at home. First question I ask is, do you do daily devotions with God? No. Do you have a family devotional time? No. Start doing those both, then come talk to me. Usually they don't come back and talk to me, either because isn't what they wanted to hear, or number two, the problem straightened itself out because they got in the Word of God. Amen? When we start making God's Word the be-all and end-all of our family and how we grow our family and how we've found our family, then the problems that you have begin to work themselves out. But we need to teach our children what God's Word says. If you're not in the Bible every day, you can forget about your children turning out for God. This is how Israel forgot about God. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10. If you read the Old Testament, especially you read Joshua and you see all the victories, but then you see some things creeping in there. Then you get to the book of Judges. You're like, man, it's going to keep going. And they're going to keep doing great. And there's going to be a great victory. And it doesn't turn out that way. Look at Judges chapter 1. Joshua passes off the scene. And guess what? The theme of Judges is that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh, we live in that day. Oh, everybody, family, oh, that's not for me, preacher. Those standards aren't for me. Don't think of the Bible, family devotion is not for me. That doesn't work for us. Why don't you try it? It might work for you. It will work for you. But I'm doing what's right in my own eyes. Look here. Chapter 2, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. I mean, they died and passed away. And there arose another generation. Now, this is the next generation. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Now, here is the condemnation here. Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They knew not the Lord. It wasn't because they weren't listening. It is because, what we find out in the second part, they didn't know the works, the testimony that previous generation had seen. Remember, the generation before was a generation that had survived the 40 years in the wilderness. This was the generation that had survived. This is the generation that had walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. This was the generation that had seen the walls of Jericho fall flat. This was the generation that had seen all that God had done and God had given to them. This was the generation before of Caleb who had said, I want that mountain, that's mine, I'm going to go and get it. And they saw miracle after miracle and man after man standing up and claiming what God had given. And now they had all gotten old and passed away. Now the next generation, the generation that had reaped the benefits. Oh, that's what we're in right now. The generation that was reaping all the benefits of fundamental Independent Baptist churches. But they're leaving the church in droves. Why? Because of this simple truth. Parents fell down on the job of teaching their kids the Bible and what God had done in their life. Because we see the last part of verse 10, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They didn't know anything about what God had done. Their parents didn't tell them. Maybe one here or there did, but as a nation, it's collectively as a nation. But you remember, if we look back a little ways in Joshua, what did Joshua warn them? Well, actually in Deuteronomy, we just read, that after all that God gives you, the houses that you didn't build, the vineyards that you didn't build, the olive groves that you didn't build, the wells of water that you didn't dig, and after, don't forget, lest ye forget the Lord. And guess what? He warned them, and they did exactly that. They forgot. We can't lean on the blessings of yesterday. Amen? We can't expect the blessings of yesterday to get into our children's and our kids' minds by osmosis. You know what? How many of you ever tried this at school? You just couldn't get a subject and you held the book up to here. And you just hope, oh, just sink in. I tried it in Spanish. I tried it. Okay, everybody's, oh, I just wanted to get in there. And you know what? And this is what we do, is we go and we go just a cursory thing over the Bible. Maybe we half in the devotions, very shallow. And we go, and you know what we're doing? Is we're walking up here and we're just putting it on our children's head. We take them to church and we do all that. We just hope it sinks in, some of it, instead of making sure it does. You know, teaching takes work. Teaching takes work. It takes some effort. It takes some discipline. But Pastor, that's hard. Yes, it is, but you need to do it. But is God doing something in your life? If God's not doing anything in your life and you're not in the Word of God, doing nothing in your life and you're in sin, you can forget it. Your kids are going to be a disaster. It is. And it's going to be your fault. You're going to stand before God and say, well, I, and He's going to say, no excuses. It's on you. It's on you. I stand before God for what my children do, my two sons that I have right now. I stand before God for what I teach them by example. You know, maybe you don't see it as much in older children, but in young children, they emulate everything that you do, good and bad. Amen? And then you look at it, they're a little reflection of yourself. And you know what? You find out also your children have a sin nature. Amen. Philip has a sin nature. Even though he's a baby. He has a temper. He has red hair to match. He's got a temper. But are we teaching our children the Word of God? Saying you didn't grow up in a Christian home, this isn't an excuse. I know people that didn't grow up in a Christian home that do a better job and know more about the Bible than kids that grew up in a saved home. That's not an excuse. Oh, I haven't been gifted with all of those things. Get in your Bible and learn it for yourself. And when you learn it for yourself, guess what? It's real to you, and you teach it to somebody else. Teach it to your children first. Oh, we teach it to people on soul winning, on visitation. We forget about the kids in our own home. Teach it to them. We get up and teach a Sunday school class, children's church, do we do whatever. We teach a class, we teach everybody else but our own kids. Teach your kids. That's rule number three. Rule number four, never tolerate dishonesty. Never tolerate dishonesty. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 19. Dishonesty should never be tolerated in anybody's home. That was rule number one in my dad's house. You know what? If you look at the Bible, it's also God's number one rule. Don't lie. Don't be dishonest. Because people play at church. People play at being a Christian. People play at being a Christian parent. People play at having a Christian home, being dishonest. Because it's not in their heart. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever. That sounds good. Amen. Lip of truth. That's God's truth. Also those that speak truth. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Won't stick around. God won't bless it. Never tolerate dishonesty in your home. Don't tolerate dishonesty in your children. Don't tolerate dishonesty in your spouse and extended family, even especially in your children's friends. If they're dishonest, you better get your kids away from them. Amen? Guess what? My parents chose who my friends were. And there's many times that I was there and I was at church and I was hanging out with them and then I came home with some undesirable attitudes. Some undesirable things. Oh, where'd you learn that? Oh, so-and-so taught me that. Oh, really? Well, and Mom would go, and you shout, you know, I never tell Dad these things. I'll tell Mom these things. Mom would go in, I'll be right back, and I'll never forget. It's usually when we're in homeschool downstairs, and my dad's laboratory was right in the next room next door, and my mom said, wait here. And she'd go in there, and that was laboratory, also conference room. And they were talking there and come back out. My dad came back out. He said, uh-oh, what'd I do? I didn't know what I did. He said, well, my mother and I were talking, and you're not going to be hanging out with so-and-so anymore. You know what? I never said, but why? I said, yes, sir. You know what? If I ever said, but why? My rear end would be hurting. Amen? And there's time I did say it. I said it to my mom more than anything, but my dad taught me that it wasn't going to fly that way. But why? You know, by the way, that's rebellion. But why? If your kids are saying that, but why, Mom? They have a rebellious heart. Or but why, Dad? Why do I have to do it? You do it because God tells you to obey your parents in some things. No, all things. Amen? Never tolerate dishonesty. This should be chief on the offense list in your house. In some homes, it's tolerated. Oh, they didn't mean it. They got confused. Children rarely get confused. Children are sharper and faster than we are most of the time. And when you ask them, what happened here? What were you doing there? I don't know. That's code for I know, but I'm not going to say because it's going to get me in trouble. I don't know. So you don't know why you had your hand in the cookie jar. You just don't know. No, sir, I don't know. Well, maybe a couple of swats will help refresh your memory. I was going to eat a cookie. All of a sudden, the truth comes out. It's amazing. But oh, you know, what do we say? Oh, poor honey. Oh, you were hungry. You were hungry. It's okay. You were hungry. It'll be fine. It's not okay. It's not fine. They lied. And you know what? God doesn't think very kindly about lying. You know what is some one of the things that's listed as abomination in him? A lying tongue. A proud look, a lying tongue. Those are abominations to God. And God deals with them severely. In some homes, it's excused. If you've lost the integrity of your house, then how can people trust you? If you lost your integrity as a parent, you know what? Something happens in some homes. This is years ago before the day of cell phones. But I'll never forget. I think I was calling my friend, or was calling somebody, or my parents were. I don't remember exactly how it was. And then the child answered the phone. Well, I was about 12, 13 years old. Answered the phone, and I think it was my parents calling. He said, hey, is your dad home? Let me check. Hey, tell him I'm not home. Oh, hello, Mr. Spurbeck. My dad's not home. Like, I just heard you. I just heard him. Like, okay. And you know what? Don't expect your child to be honest. You know what? Especially when your kids see you, you just don't feel like going to work that day. And you go, you know, you get the whole sick. You call up, I couldn't go to work today. Oh, I've got a terrible sore. I'm sorry, you're going to have to excuse me. and you get off the phone. Oh, I'm going to go play golf. That's wicked and a lie. And you're teaching your kids to be dishonest if you do it. Don't tolerate it. Teach your children to show be honest no matter what. Show them an example of honesty. All right, got one point left for tonight. Number five, consistent discipline. He's moving back there. Proverbs 13, verse 24. I can still reach you back there, son. That's right. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Consistent discipline. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Let's read that again. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The enemy of parenting today is discipline. There are so many books, there are so many opinions, there are so many ideas out there. But what are we going to go with? You know, you have to make a decision that you're going to do what the Bible says. Remember, God wrote the book on raising kids. You know what? For generations, you know, you saw, especially if you look at the Waldensians and different ones like that, they had a pattern of following the Bible. People say, well, they're extreme. Well, guess what? They went 10 generations without losing their kids. So don't call them extreme when it worked. Amen? Now, was their doctrine all right? No, they had some problems. However, they followed the Bible, and they had generation after generation after generation. Do you realize there's still generations today from them? 2,000 years since. They can trace all the way back to the time of Christ, all the way to today, because they followed this. So don't say it's extreme. It's extreme for the world we live in today, and it's extreme for the lukewarm, pansy churches we have today. That pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor are neglecting what God says in this area. And they're neglecting it. Their churches are getting big. They're losing the young people. They're all going. Left and right. Between mom and dad, there must be an established discipline structure in the home. This is how you have consistent discipline. Make clear rules, boundaries, and guidelines that you teach your children. Thou shalt not cross this. You won't do this. Here's what is expected. This is part of child training. You know what? Sometimes there are some homes that do something bad that just irritates you. And you discipline them. They didn't even know what they did. There's no boundary set. It's just whatever irritates you at that particular moment. That's inconsistent. That's wrong. You're going to provoke your children to bitterness and wrath. You're going to provoke them. Make a clear structure. We'll look at some of those in a minute. Well, next week. Stay tuned for next week for some of those. But many of them will be specific to your home, okay? Because some of you maybe have different things in your home that are dangerous. Okay, little junior, don't go near the stairs. You're going to fall down them. You know, things like that. You're going to have some specific things, but we're doing some general things here. There must be an established and clear consequence if offended. Every time, discipline must be carried out. And discipline is not just spanking. There's more to discipline than spanking, much more. There is training, there is teaching, what they did wrong, why they did, why it is wrong. Because if you just stand on until they're 15, 16 years old, well, it's wrong because I said so. You don't teach them what the Word of God, you're doing your kids a terrible disservice. Because you need to teach them from a young age what God's Word says. I'm not saying go on a 20-minute doctrinal dissertation on what they did, but explain to them, this is what this verse says. You disobeyed it. There's a consequence. Amen? Every time. Now, not everything is a spanking offense. You know, the Bible says right here, he that spareth the rod hateth the son. The rod is what? We spank with. God gave us padding for a reason. To sit on and also for discipline. The Bible thus says nothing about these different things that happen today. God says nothing about timeout. Amen? You know what that you teach your kids in timeout? Hey, I just did that. All I have to do is stand in the corner for 5 minutes. That's all that happened to me. Hey, you know what? If I had that, I would have got away with a lot more stuff. Because if I didn't get a spank, guess what? I got a spanking. I never did it again. Well, I probably did it again. But I'd like to think I never did it again. Amen? We like to think that. But there was a couple of things. And I got some severe discipline, and there are some things I never, ever, ever did again. Never. Because that was a very bad experience. Got etched in. Now, some things didn't etch in so easy. Okay, and I got a lot. I think my last spanking, I think I was 14, 15 years old. I got a spanking. By the way, your kids never get too big to spank, by the way. Well, they're too old to spank. Try and tell my father that. The Bible doesn't say anything about the naughty mat. Never forget that. It's a pastor, you always get on this. I do. The English nanny lady, the naughty mat. And just sit there on the mat because you've been naughty. What does that teach him? Well, I get to sit in the mat in the middle of the floor for a little while. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget. I think my wife watched this. I watched this episode. They took a Christian family that spanked and made them look like demons and that it doesn't work. I mean, it was terrible. They edited the whole thing. And what it was inconsistent discipline. They spanked, but it was totally inconsistent. There was no established guidelines. It all fell apart. And they called in the super nanny. And she dismantled their whole discipline system and said, oh, you need to use the naughty mat. And guess what? And they look at the end. Oh, look how wonderful she's doing. Look at this. She's doing wonderful. She's happy. And she's playing. And it's TV. Since when is it when it's on TV's real? It was maybe good for that week. And the next week, it was probably worked fine. Try 6 months. Now, they don't show you 6 months down the road what happened. When she decided, well, I'm going to go push it a little more. And you know what happened? You know why that girl responded to that lady? Because she didn't give in. That was the main reason. It had nothing to do with the naughty mat. She didn't give in when something bad happened like the parents did. If you collapse like that, you can forget about discipline in your house. If you collapse like that and you make excuses for your kids just because you're lazy, you don't want to deal with it. No, you need to deal with the discipline of your children. Don't let someone else do it. You do it. The Bible doesn't say have anything about grounding, slapping or yelling and screaming and these things. They're unbiblical and they're wrong. They're abusive. Nothing wrong, nothing right with them at all. However, what does the Bible say? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. An important verse. Now, this verse is to fathers and for a reason. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a pastor, why is this verse written to gentlemen, to fathers? Because fathers have less patience than mothers do. And you know what? We can get irritated, and we can discipline because we're irritated, not because they broke a rule. And if you do that, and if you are inconsistent in your discipline, and you just discipline whenever you're irritated, and that includes mom too. If you just discipline whenever you're irritated, whenever they've just gotten so out of control, you got to deal with them, then you will provoke your children to anger because one time they can do it, the next time they can't. Isn't that frustrating? Now, how about if you were going down the road and the speed limit's 55, and then you're going 55 miles an hour, and one day you were going 60, and then the police officer pulled you over. It's okay, I was going over the speed limit. The next day that you're going 50, you're going real slow, the police officer pulls you over again. Why, what's the matter? Well, you're irritating me because you're going 50 instead of 55. Go the speed limit. But there's no law that's saying, but I don't care, I said. You know what we do? We call up the police department, we get frustrated and irritated, wouldn't we? Don't do that to your kids. The same thing. You change the rule on them, they didn't know it. Make it clear to them. If you change the rule, explain it to them first. And then make sure they don't do it anymore. Unreasonable punishment or discipline is inconsistent because the punishment must fit the crime. Right? Now, if we go over here speeding and we get the death penalty for speeding, we would say the punishment does not fit the crime. Whoa, that's really severe. But some punishments don't fit the crime. On the other side, we see people that deal drugs, they get 6 month probation, slap on the wrist when hundreds of people have died of overdoses because of them. That's what happens in our country. Once again, that's on the other side of the equation. The crime, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. So let's look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 1. Proverbs 11, verse number 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So if you're unfair and unjust and you're disciplined, that's an abomination to God. If you're unjust, we must be careful not to overreact, to mete out severe consequences for a small offense, to overreact to an accident. You know, sometimes, oh, they broke my most precious possession. It was an accident. Don't wheel the tar at them because they've had an accident. You need to get over it. Say, well, you need to be more careful, but accidents happen. I'll never forget, we were out eating, and a child, they spilled a glass of milk. I mean, the dad went ballistic. I mean, he was going, he was out of control, man, because the kid just spilled his milk. The kid's sitting over there crying, about ready to crawl underneath the table, didn't know what to do. The wife doesn't know what to do, trying to get it all calmed down. We don't need homes like that. We don't need homes like that. To overreact to a first-time offense, especially if they didn't clearly understand your rule, make sure you explain it to them. Now, if they do it again 5 minutes later, it's not first-time offense anymore. Amen? Discipline needs to happen. You know, kids are really good. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I just told you 5 minutes ago. Oh, my brain. Oh, Mom, you don't remember. My brain's growing. And, you know, it goes blank sometimes. You don't understand. And parents buy it. And they buy it and say, oh, okay. Your kid just snowed you. They knew exactly what they were doing. Either that or they didn't pay attention the first time you told them. They're going to pay attention that time. They need to learn to listen. Or maybe to move too fast to discipline without explaining to the child what they did wrong. Boom, you snatch them up, you spank them, they don't even realize what they did. Now, we also must not be careful to underreact. That's the other thing. That's what we struggle with today in homes. We underreaction to things. Well, because we're so afraid of making our kids hate us, we're so afraid of making them bitter. If you don't discipline them, you will both of those things, by the way. If you don't teach them anything, they will hate you and they will be bitter against you. Is that right? No, but you didn't do right in teaching them. Then we don't discipline them because we don't want to do that. We let them get away with murder. We threaten, but don't do anything. If the children learns that you will say it 10 times before you do something, guess what? They'll do it up to the 9th time. Or they'll go to 10, or they'll dare you and do it an 11th time just to see what you're going to do. The result is little terrors running around your home, the church, and in public. We see them all the time in Walmart, throwing a fit because they didn't get a toy. Which in turn turns into big terrors and bullies who break your heart and break the law and end up in juvenile delinquency hall and end up in prison and end up in all kinds of places. Because you didn't discipline them. Over 87% of people who are guilty of violent crimes in America didn't have a dad or didn't have a mom who was present at home. They were in the daycare. They were raised by other people. Mom and dad weren't present. And guess what? They weren't raised with discipline and they end up in prison. Because if you let your child get away with going up to some kid, hitting them, saying, that's mine, and running away, guess what? They're going to do that with a gun someday and say, mine, shoot them, and walk away. It's the same thing. We don't see it that way. Oh, that's cute. It's not cute. That's where it ends up. If left unchecked. I said, Pastor, it's kind of extreme. It's the truth. So today, what are we going to do? So, Pastor, this is only half the message. What's the other half? You'll find out next Wednesday. Now, if the attendance is down next Wednesday, I'm going to find out why. So, Pastor, we just gave you a bunch of cards on Sunday. What are you doing this to us for? Because I love you. Because, Lord, it's really been burning my heart about this. Something that I see a lot of, unfortunately. When you go out and around, and we see it on the bus, you see it different places, you even see it here in church. We need to make sure that we are living our lives and raising our children according to this book. You never go wrong with God's word, amen? You never will. never will go wrong. You'll never, ever go wrong with God's Word. And if you found your family upon it and you teach it to your kids, you know what you're going to find? If you teach the Word of God to your children, a lot of your discipline problems are going to go away. You know why? Because God is going to start getting a hold of their hearts and convicting them of their wrongdoing. By the way, that is the best thing. That's the goal of discipline. Amen? It's not to just wail them until they don't do it anymore, until they're broken in their heart. And they come and they say, Mom, Dad, and I did wrong. Will you forgive me? I did wrong to God. Will you forgive me? I don't want to ever do it again. Will you help me? That's the goal of discipline, by the way. And when you've done that, you have been successful, and God's Word has worked. Amen? When that happens. If that's not happening, something needs to change in your house. Well, my child is hardened against me. They just won't listen to me no matter what. Well, there's got to be a meeting of the minds, and yours wins. Lovingly and with compassion. And that's the next couple points here. Well, loving and compassion. But just because they are hardened against you doesn't mean they get to get away with what they're doing. I don't care if they're 1 or 19 or 20 or 30. You have 30, there's a problem. They need to be forced to take flight. You know what the eagles and falcons do? They kick them out. If they make it, they make it. If not, yep. And sometimes in life it takes a couple of splats for the kids to find out, hey, you know what, life's not so easy. One of the worst things that you can do is save your kids all the time. Let them make some mistakes. Now, save them from the major stuff, yes, but they need to make some mistakes. Guess what? I thought I knew all there was to know about living. I'll never forget when I was in college, and, you know, I thought I was big deal with my finances. I had my $75 a week that I got earning myself there, and I had a debit card. Man, I was so happy. I mean, I had a debit card. I never had a debit card before. I thought it was cool. I could just do that. And then I got a credit card. I could just go and not have the money. I'll never forget that after I'd had one about 2 months, and I had a debit card, and I overdrafted my account. Hey, no problem. I had overdraft protection. Went to my credit card. No problem. My credit card was full. And they called me up and said, oh, Mr. Spurbeck, your account's been overdrafted. I think it was $55. I said, Pastor, you did this. Yes, I did. And I said, let's put it on the credit card. So that's a problem, Mr. Spurbeck. Your credit card is full. You can't complete the transaction. Oh, well, I get paid next week. So we're just letting you know that you're going to get charged $34 a day while your account is in the negative. So, I'll see if I can get some money. And so I call up my dad. Hey, Dad, how you doing? And I never called my dad directly. I called Mom up and said, hey, Mom, can I talk to Dad? And whenever I had to talk to Dad, there was a problem or I needed something, a counsel or something. And I said, hey, Dad, how you doing? I'm just calling to see how you're doing. He goes, what do you need? I said, well, Dad, I have this little problem. I kind of overdrafted my account. Oh, how much? Is it $55? Okay. That is a problem. Yes, Dad, I'm going to get charged $35 a day for that. And he goes, okay. So, I'll tell you what. So, we'll send you some money. Yes, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the only time I'm going to do this. You do it again, you're on your own. I won't do it again. You know what? My dad said something like that. I listened because he meant it. You know what? If you say, honey, that's the last time I'm going to help you, and they know that they can just go back to you again, they'll say yes. Mom, Dad, can I have this cool thing? You know, I was notorious. I had the Christmas list circled and everything. I always asked my mom, Mom, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? I mean, I probably asked my mom thousands of times for different things. And sometimes she said yes. But 90% of the time she said no. You know, I'm thankful for that. Because now when my son asks me for things and he asks for things, sometimes we get it for him. Sometimes that, you know, I say no. Can't have it. Not because I want to be mean, but he doesn't need it. You know, if we give our kids everything they desire, then we're going to raise spoiled brats that are going to expect everything. And guess what? They're going to treat God that way. God, I want this right now. And God is not to be approached that way. There are a lot of Christians that approach God that way. When they don't get what they want, they have an almighty tantrum. Well, why has God forsaken me? God hasn't forsaken you anywhere. He didn't need it. You go, well, where is God in all of this? He's right here in your heart, if you're saved. Amen? So tonight, when we make a decision on this, that I haven't been following God's word, or maybe another area God's spoken about, why don't you make a decision tonight? Why don't you come to him and say, Lord, will you help me to make a Christian home? I've been running it as my own home, but I want to run it as your home. Not my own, but your home. Make a decision tonight. Say, Lord, I hold your word up. I have not made you the center. You're the center of my home now. And if that's the case, there's going to be some changes to some things. There's going to be some things in the home that aren't honoring to God that need to go. That's next week's message. There's going to be some things, if we're going to live by the word of God, there's going to be some things that need to be absent in order to make it Christ-honoring. But tonight, will you make that step and make that decision? Lord, you're going to be in charge of my home. And here's the question. Who's controlling your home? Are you controlling your home? Are the kids controlling your home? Or is God controlling the home? We always have this idea that, well, I need to have control of the home. No, God does. And then the rest falls into place. Let God have control. Let's pray.